And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, man, like, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Lots of doings today. 833-687-4448 is the text line slash call line. You want to text or call it, it's open. Some of y'all have already figured that out. Jeff from Green Hill, still waiting for you to do a Dipple tripper. I don't know what you're saying to me. What's he saying to me? Still waiting for you to do a Dipple tripper. What? Or triple dipper. I don't know what he's saying. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Marie from Madison says, okay, she's asking me about, yes. So Marie, you're asking about something that I'm probably planning on doing a segment on Friday. I'm working on having a guest available. But Marie is asking about House Bill 238, which everything that I know so far, and I've not read the bill, I'm hoping to read it tonight, House Bill 238 needs to go away. It needs to go away fast. House Bill 238 is a bill that would actually add over $10 to every prescription filled. Why? Oh, I don't know. Make money for pharmacists, I guess. I don't know. But what I'm looking at here is basically taxation by another means. And that's got to stop. Plus, think about it. What about people that are on multiple prescriptions? $10 each? What if you're like somebody who's going through chemo and you've got all the supporting medications that go along with that, and you're having to deal with, you know, picking up five or six prescriptions at a time? You're gonna make them pay an extra $50 or $60 right there on the spot. It just, believe me, you might say, oh, it'll get picked up by insurance. Well, there's a lot of people that don't have insurance, and then, oh, by the way, there's also the issue with the fact that the state winds up paying for a lot of stuff like Medicaid. So are we going to wind up having this, you know, becoming a drain on the public coffer as well as the private citizen? I don't think so. This bill, I mean, the more I think about it, the more they better find a friggin' good reason to explain this. But what we also don't see, by the way, is we don't see what this money's going for. Like, I didn't like the new gas tax. I didn't like it at all, but at least I know they're building a road with it, right? At least you can see pavement. What are we going to see out of the $10.64 they're going to add to each prescription? Marie, you've just gone and made me mad. Yeah, but wait for that. I plan to have a whole section on this hopefully on Friday, if not soon thereafter. Thomas from Athens is talking about TikTok. They had a vote today, by the way. Says Trump is correct on TikTok's to be determined new owner if it's not Rumble or X. He says, plus TikTok will still have Section 230 protection, plus there's nothing to prevent TikTok's new owner from having a contract for software services provided by a company with ties to CCP. Okay, so all that to say, the House voted today on a bill that is not for certain going to pass in the Senate. It's a bill that would basically deregulate TikTok and get it out of the hands of the Chinese government or just go away altogether. So we'll wait and see what happens, but more to come on that question. Mike from Coxie, Alabama says, with Biden and Trump now the presumptive nominees for another matchup, one thing is different. Biden will have a harder time hiding in his basement this time. Yeah, you know what? At least he could use the excuse of COVID last time, right? So if Biden is going to campaign without the fear of COVID, is he going to be more active this time? Because last time he got to hide in his basement and pretend that it was normal. Can't do that now. And I'm pretty sure he's going to get call after call after call from Trump to do a debate. So we'll see where that goes. John from Harvest, Phil, nice monologue. Yep, when it comes to the executive branch, personnel is policy, even more so than what the president says in speeches and press conferences. John, what a great phrase. Personnel is policy. I may be writing that one down. I got the best listeners, man. Allie from Athens, remember that typically people become the average of the five. Yes, I think your text cut off, Allie, but I think I know where you're going here. It is true. You do wind up reflecting those that you are with. Our John from Huntsville. I don't know what's happening. Text messages are coming in like half a text message at a time. You see that? Mm-hmm. Am I just missing it or is this me?
No, they're coming in.
This is wacky. Okay, John from Huntsville, be aware we got the last half of your message. I don't know what the first half said. But he also did say, though, I hope you and Big Rig aren't TikTok users. Negative. That's a negative.
I use it for my business.
Holy cow. Yeah. We have to have a conversation later on. Dustin from Hazel Green, sending me a link to a video that I can't watch right now, but thank you, Dustin. Russell from Rural Route 1, I always had the hardest time saying that. Russell from Rural Route 1. Rural Route. We got to change his address. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he says the guy that sponsors the bill on charging for prescriptions says it's to protect mom and pops from the chain stores. Whatever. I ain't buying it. That's up to the free market, man. It's not up to government to go try and change the dynamics of the market. And then I've got somebody who sent me something about something. Thank you. I love it when people send me a story and say, Phil, look at this. I'm on the radio. I can't just stop what I'm doing and look at your video. Thank you for sending it. Hopefully I can check it out later on. But I appreciate it. Okay. Listen, we got a full slate of stuff. And I'm just telling you, it's getting more interesting by the minute. And this coming political season is going to be a hoot. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, so first part of the Triple Dipper is just called And the Winner Is. But I got to tell you, there's a little bit of breaking news that impacts things that are going to be discussed within this dipper. We got two pieces of breaking news. Number one, let's keep it to the home side of things. Story out right now on Fox News, just came out a little while ago. In fact, Senator Britt's staff sent it to me to make sure I saw it. But it came out, it came out right at 2 hours ago. CNN was forced to correct its story about Senator Katie Britt after accusations of it trying to run a smear campaign against her. Wow. So what kills me is, and this is what liberals do. They're doing it on my Twitter feed right now, which has been fun. By the way, that's having a little bit of a semi-viral moment, but you're welcome to go to my Twitter feed, @sin, that's S-E-N, @sin, Phil Williams. We've been dealing with trolls about space camp over the last few days, and oh boy, they're turning out. Well, Senator Britt, though, if you remember, she gave the response to Biden's State of the Union address. And there were people that were like, oh, I just don't like her style. Okay, if you don't like her style, that's fine. What do you think about the content? Oh, I didn't like her style. What'd you think about the content? Well, I didn't like her style. Okay. But then CNN had to go and take it down a different road. They wanted to deal with the content, but they didn't want to deal with it honestly. So they chose one thing. If you remember, there was one pretty heinous story that Senator Britt told about meeting a woman who talked about how she had been sex trafficked and raped over and over again as a child in relation to cartels and human traffickers at the southern border. Well, by golly, that's not true. She didn't meet with her one-on-one. She's just trying to make a ploy here. We'll go find that poor rape victim and get her on TV and let her talk about how she feels about being a part of Senator Britt. What a stupid thing to do. Was the woman raped repeatedly? Yes. Was she sex trafficked as a child? Yes. Did Senator Britt ever say she met with her one-on-one? No. She said she met with her, and she did. And it just so happened it was, what, 2 years ago? Okay. What's your point? Well, anyway, all said and done, CNN's had to issue a retraction, which, by the way, when you see the press going down a road of incorrectly stating the facts, an official letter demanding a retraction or a correction is fair game. I've had to do it during campaign seasons, and I've had to do it on behalf of other clients. And I'm telling you right now, it's the right thing to do. And CNN got called out. They were generating their own facts to support their own positions, as opposed to just reporting the news. I mean, I make no bones about it. This is an opinion show, right? I'm a conservative, and I'm going to come at this this line of stories and triple dippers that I've got with a conservative view, a conservative worldview, period. My Christian faith, my military background, my legal experience, my time in the legislature, all of it swirls together to give me the basis for opinions that I'm glad to share. CNN, on the other hand, is supposed to be reporting news. Unless they say otherwise, like, this is an opinion show. Like, you know, Sean Hannity on Fox, it's an opinion show. Anyway, big story, big doings. I like it. CNN called on the carpet. Here's the other one that got called on the carpet. Fannie Willis. Whoop, whoop. So over in Fulton County, Georgia, Fannie Willis just got her fanny handed to her. I cracked myself up. All right, so Fannie Willis is the prosecutor for Fulton County. And if you recall, she's been the most ostentatious, prideful, and somewhat ridiculous person to ever hold a prosecutor's license anywhere. Prosecutor's license is a euphemism. I know they're not licensed to prosecute. She's an attorney, but she is an elected state prosecutor. She indicted 18 people. 18. She indicted Trump. She indicted Trump surrogates. She indicted Trump attorneys. She indicted all God's children who had anything to say about Trump, under the belief that they had conspired to try and, you know, overturn the election results in the state of Georgia. 18 indictments. It's a sweeping case. Well, the judge today just threw out 6 of the counts against all parties, saying that she had not met the requisite requirements to carry that case forward to trial. And what he said was, did the prosecution basically lay out the case as to what they believed they could allege? Yes, but they still did not allege what the outcome was or how those conspiracy moments had, you know, manifested into criminal activity. And so he dismissed 6 of the counts. Now, they're not all gone. And what we're also waiting on is, any time now, we expect the judge to have to come back and rule on Fannie Willis herself, whether or not Fannie Willis is going to be able to remain on the case. Why? Because we have, you know, learned that she had a secret relationship with the third-party attorney whom she hired and paid well more than anybody else on her staff to prosecute the cases with her, who had no experience to do so. He was just her boyfriend. He was a divorce attorney who is suddenly now prosecuting the president of the United States and 18 people for crimes that he's got no experience prosecuting. In fact, he's never been a prosecutor. But she paid him a lot of money, a lot of money, and they took a lot of trips together with that money. And the question is, was there collateral gain here for her? Was she making a little something on the side? Were these trips considered to be an inducement to keep him on the payroll? And did she also lie to the court by saying they had not had a relationship before this case started, when it's now been pretty much proven they did? All said and done, Fannie Willis is going to find out pretty soon whether her Fannie is going to be walking out the door, because she may lose, she may get taken off the case. The case itself might get dropped altogether. And then again, she might be facing disbarment if the allegations are proven to the judge's satisfaction. So there, breaking news, Katie Britt, story retracted by CNN, and then Fannie Willis, 6 of her counts have already been thrown out. We'll see where the rest of it goes. Wow, I'm 10 minutes in. I hadn't even gotten into my paperwork over here. And yes, I'm going to rattle some paper today. Yeah. So last night, if you was paying attention, which by now most of us are like, it's going to be Trump and Biden. We know that, but it's still got to be official. I mean, everybody knew that Trump and Biden were the two top party nominees going forward. It's just kind of a given. You know, there was concern or not concern, really. Well, concern if you're a Democrat. There were questions about whether or not we're going to wind up seeing Biden taken off the ticket. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I can imagine some ways. But then he had his State of the Union address where they juiced him up so much he came out there and yelled at America to get off the grass for about an hour. And the Democrats are like, okay, we can do this. We can make this work. He can yell. He can still yell. And that's where we are. So it's going to be Trump and Biden. But it had to get official. So last night, the states of Georgia, Mississippi, and Washington all held their primaries. State of Hawaii held its caucus. And when all was said and done, the right number of electors have now been elected to support President Trump for the Republican nomination, officially, overall. Biden the same. And we will go forward. They will still have the National Convention. The National Convention for Republicans, I believe, is in July. The Democrats are in August. But yeah, it's official. And by the way, this is the first time since 1956. Here's some trivia for you. Go on Jeopardy with this one. Since 1956, we have not had a rematch ticket. So we've got, you know, Trump, Biden. Well, the last time we had this was Eisenhower and Adlai Stevenson ran against each other and then ran against each other again. Haven't had that that top of the ticket rematch since 1956. Wow. So that's interesting. Maybe to some of y'all it's not, but to me it is. I think that I just find that to be interesting. Thank you very much. Now, Trump still faces all the indictments. He still had a $355 million civil judgment against him that he's appealing. He's got all these legal entanglements, but as of right now, it does not appear that there's any of the legals that are going to stop him. We are seeing most of them fall by the wayside. I really think that Trump's going to wind up okay. The one that gives me the most pause is his the question of whether or not he is going to be convicted on the question of mishandling classified documents. Well, I have a hard time believing that can go forward the way they just let Biden go. I also have a hard time believing it's going to go forward based upon the fact that the Supreme Court is hearing the question of his presidential immunity. But we'll see. All right, tell you what, we're going to take a break right now. Big Rig, head us to the break there, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number one, Triple Dipper, and the winner is, all right, Trump and Biden. But then you got questions like, who are they going to be their running mates? And what's happening with RFK Jr.? And is there really a party called No Labels? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative hand. Just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Making common sense like a superpower up in here. So, okay. So we're talking, number one Triple Dipper here is, and the winner is. So, all right. You've got right now, it's been confirmed. The top of your Republican and Democrat tickets are, ta-da, no surprise, Trump and Biden. All right, so Trump and Biden are there. Who's Trump going to have for his running mate? Oh, now that's a curious one. Let me go through my stack here and find the one I've got with the latest speculations. I pulled this one off of Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did. So Axios has what it considers to be its top picks, but I don't disagree. I mean, Axios is a liberal rag, but I find no fault in their choosings here. So here I'll read you the names. You can imagine. Top out on the list, Senator Tim Scott. Next, Representative Elise Stefanik, who, by the way, I think Elise Stefanik is definitely a rising star, but something about her strikes me as being too new. I mean, I don't know. But then again, another one on the list, Senator Katie Britt. So there's that. Senator J.D. Vance is considered to be a possibility. Ben Carson. I mean, Ben Carson is a quality individual. What a solid man. Carrie Lake, although I doubt it, because Carrie Lake right now is running for the U.S. Senate in Arizona, has a strong chance of winning that race, and if she does, we need her to offset the balance of power in the Senate. So we'll see. Vivek Ramaswamy. Oh, he wants that job so bad he can hardly stand it, but we'll see. How about Governor Kristi Noem? I get it, but I don't get it. I don't know. I think she's the real deal. I think she is. But something about her just doesn't seem presidential. I could be wrong. Governor Greg Abbott. A lot of people love the way he's handling the southern border. Trump even said recently he has certainly earned the right to be considered. Representative Byron Daniels. I like Byron Daniels a lot. I could see him being in the executive branch. I think Byron Daniels would also bring the state of Florida with him. So there's that. But Trump's also from Florida, so it's not hard. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I could see that. They worked together before. She used to be his press secretary. Wouldn't that be a hoot if his former press secretary then ran to be his vice president? And then the last one on the list, I'm saying, no, I don't see it. Nikki Haley. Come on, Axios. That ain't going to happen. I don't see Nikki Haley suddenly like, hey, all's good. Of course, you know, look at this. Kamala Harris is vice president for Joe Biden after she just ripped him, you know, into little bitty pieces up on the stage during the debates. I mean, she was after him like just you know, just horribly so. I mean, it was unbelievable. She was going after him, claiming racism and everything. And then next thing you know, somewhere along the line, they just made up and now she's vice president. Woo! But yeah, Republicans are definitely, this article uses the word auditioning, and that's probably true, auditioning for the role of former President Trump's running mate. Top contenders, they believe, at Axios. It's just Axios. Are Tim Scott, Elise Stefanik, and J.D. Vance. But who it's going to be, we don't know yet. Will he announce before the, you know, the big nomination at the convention? I don't know. He said in January he'd already made his decision, but then his staff quickly walked it back, like, ah, you know, it's yeah, a lot of work left to be done. We'll see. So I don't know, but I think that list is certainly. If there's anybody that's been left off the list, tell me what you think. 833-687-4448. Who would you see as Trump's VP? Who would you like for it to be? If you got a notion, you let me know. But I don't know. I look at it right now. I think in my opinion, it's Tim Scott, Byron Daniels, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I see those as being pretty solid. Katie Britt, I agree, but I don't think we can lose the balance of power in the Senate by losing her. Of course, we'd be losing Tim Scott, too, now that I said that. Oh, we'd be losing J.D. Vance, too. I don't know. There's a lot to be said about trying to maintain the Senate, but we will see. So I almost hesitate to get into this before the top of the hour, but there have been some stuff said. So speaking of running mates, Bill Maher. No, Bill Maher's not going to be a running mate. Bill Maher, the uber liberal sort of pundit slash talk show host on HBO. Who, by the way, I'll be honest, I think that he would be, to me, one of the scariest people to debate because the guy is sharp as a tack. And when it's something about the way he puts his words together, it is, bottom line is he's good at what he does. He is a strong advocate for his side. And when he's really steeped in the information he needs to talk his side, that man's hard to talk around. So do not underestimate Bill Maher. The interesting thing is Bill Maher has not been afraid to call out his own side. That's been kind of fun to watch in the past year as Bill Maher has basically told liberals to start getting their act together. The southern border and other issues, transgenderism, just basically saying you're killing our side. And he's actually called out Biden a few times. And he most recently did this. He called on President Biden just this past week. He called on President Biden to drop Kamala Harris. Really? Yes, he did. He called on him to drop Kamala Harris. Who do you think he recommended that Joe Biden pick up for VP? I'm listening. I hear nothing. Nikki Haley. What? That's what he said. I'm telling you, I'm looking at the report from thehill.com. Carl Rove responded to it and said, ain't no way. He said, they're never going to put Nikki Haley on their ticket. He said, it's a bill, nice thinking, but it ain't going to happen. And Nikki Haley be the first one to say, I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen, but there's the guy who knows that his ticket can't get elected like it is. There's a guy who liberals have looked to for guidance for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, who is now telling them you got to drop Kamala Harris. And on top of that, you got to add somebody, you know, some kind of centrist Republican. You got to get somebody in there who's not liberal. Really? That's what his advice is? What he's basically saying is we need to counter Joe Biden. And he's suggesting Nikki Haley. I just think he had a little something to smoke before he walked out on stage, is my opinion. But listen, when we get back from this break, I'm going to close this out with a couple things that I find like super interesting. Did you know there's a third party run? Yeah, RFK Jr. Did you hear who he's talking about for his VP picks potentially? Oh, it's interesting. And then on top of that, have you heard about this group? They call themselves No Labels. Can you actually have a label that says No Labels and still pretend you don't have a label? I don't know. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh, yeah. Like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 2 on this hump day. And I am neck deep in Dipper number 1 that I'm calling, and the winner is. All right, so You got the thing I've already told you. It's Trump and Biden. It's the first time since 1956 we've had a repeat ticket. Trump versus Biden in this case. 1956, it was Eisenhower versus Adlai Stevenson for the second time. But Trump, Biden, that's the top of the party tickets. You can imagine that they're likely to be the ones who come out on top of one or the other. You know where I stand. But that being said, they aren't the only ones in the race. There's some other stuff happening, like RFK Jr. So RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., son of, you know, the late Robert Kennedy, who was the brother of John F. Kennedy, both of whom were assassinated. Robert F. Kennedy is now running one of the strongest third-party tickets we've seen. He's an independent. He was running as a Democrat. He's always been a Democrat. He's a little more like a Clinton Democrat. He's like liberal, but he's not like loony, if that makes sense. Well, I mean, depends on who you ask, but you know what I'm saying. The bottom line is, right now I see the Biden administration as being a bunch of loons, whereas I saw, you know, the Clinton administration as being a bunch of losers. But the truth is, RFK Jr. is what some consider to be a more moderate Democrat. He's a Joe Manchin style, but he's got some very liberal beliefs on green policy, so look out for that. Anyway, he's running a pretty strong third-party ticket. The Democrats are freaking out because they believe that he has more chance of taking away votes from Biden than he does over Trump. So then who's he going to ask to be his VP? A lot of speculation. So story here on townhall.com came out today, actually. With over a dozen states potentially putting Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s name on the ballot as a third-party candidate, the son of the late Attorney General, known for his controversial views, must find a running mate if he wants to make 2024 legit or have the appearance at least of a legitimacy and not being a gimmick, which is what a lot of third-party runs are. They're gimmicks. So in rounding out his ticket, there are reports out there that he's been talking to a couple of individuals. They are not who you might expect. The first one is current NFL football star Aaron Rodgers. What? The reports come from the New York Times. They say that Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, been a stellar quarterback, a Pro Bowler in the NFL, is still playing. By the way, he's under contract. He's still playing. But right now, he is allegedly one of the top contenders for a VP slot in an RFK Jr. administration. Who's the other one? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of movie quotes. Oh, I gave it away. It's a movie guy. Or he's been a movie guy. How about that? He's been a movie guy. How about this? Oh, Painless is going to get you. Where's that one? Or how about this? I ain't got time to bleed. Who am I talking about?
Bruce Willis?
No. Close, though, is the same genre. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Ah.
Jesse okay. Ventura, who was, you know, he had a Vietnam record. Some say he was a SEAL. Some say he wasn't. I don't know. All I know is he did serve in Vietnam. He played in Predator. He was the guy with the Australian bush hat who carried the Bushmaster minigun. I mean, this, what an epic character in that movie. Played in some other stuff. Went on to be the governor of Minnesota, which kind of freaked everybody out. He was like a weird candidate to run for, and he's gotten very weird in recent years. Like he's kind of out there, kind of like fringe. But Jesse Ventura and Aaron Rodgers, reports from the New York Times are Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has approached both of them and, quote, they have both welcomed the overtures, said people familiar with the discussions. Now, I'm always curious as to how the press gets away with saying things, says sources close to the discussion. Okay. Who's that? You writing the article? but yeah, Mr. Kennedy, though, it says, did confirm on Tuesday that the two men were at the top of his list. Okay, there's that. It's not clear if either has been formally offered the post, however, and Mr. Kennedy is still considering a short list of potential candidates. That's just interesting. And the article does point out that, you know, Rodgers is currently slated to return to the New York Jets for the 2024 season, so that could get a little bit weird. And Jesse Ventura, it says, might be too out there for middle America. But it does show that Mr. Kennedy does embrace his independent candidate stripes with gusto. So that would be, I'm going to be honest with you, that'd be a freak show. That would be a three ring circus, man. By the way, just go look up Jesse Ventura. And there was also, by the way, what's his name? Chris Kyle, the American sniper, who was tragically killed on the range by a disturbed veteran just a few years back. But Chris Kyle, it is said, was in a bar with Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura made a snide remark about SEALs being killed and maybe they deserved it or something like that. And Chris Kyle says he decked him. And then there have been disputes about whether it happened or not. In fact, Jesse Ventura even sued the wife. What's her name? Is it Taya? Tanya? Taya, I think it's Taya Kyle. Sued her because it was in Chris Kyle's book. So anyway, all said and done, what you thinking, man?
He was also a wrestler, a professional.
Oh yeah,
wrestler.
That's why he's called Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah, he's 72 years old, yeah. And he's bald on top, and he's got hair on the sides.
Oh, it's like shaggy hair down the sides. I mean, I'm wondering, would they clean him up for the campaign signs, or would they just go, just be who you is, man? I mean, I look at it and think, there is nothing that explains that hair.
Yeah.
Nothing.
If I was bald on top, I would just shave the whole thing.
Just go for it. Bald on top, beard on the bottom. I mean, why
would
not?
You try to hold on to the hair on the sides?
It's, I don't know.
Anyway.
Reminiscing? I don't know. For old time's sake.
That would be a circus, though, yeah.
But you've ever seen the movie Predator?
Yeah.
Okay. So he was Jesse Ventura back in his, full-on stud days, was one of the main characters in Predator. Look him up as Predator, his character. And he carried that big gun.
I see.
It was a role that you had to look at and go, that's a.
He looked a lot cooler back then.
Yeah, he did.
He was like huge and.
It was.
He's all old and now, bald now.
He's kind of decrepit. He looks like a street person. Like they went out and hired a hobo to come in.
Yeah.
Who's the hobo running for VP? That's Jesse Ventura. No. Anyway, last one I got for the break. No labels. I got to ask, if they claim that they are no labels, but then they name themselves no labels, have they not just even given themselves a label? Things that cause you to go, So No Labels is an organization that formed in 2010. They've been around for a few years, in 2010. But a story here on Town Hall by Byron York caught my attention. He says, how do presidential candidacies start? Most of them begin with the ambitions of one person. They might have a vision for leadership. The ambitious would-be candidate then sets out to win the support of a political party and the race is then on. He says, right now, though, we're seeing a strange variation in which a party, or a would-be party, has decided that it wants to have a candidate in the 2024 election and is holding a talent search to find the right man or woman. In other words, they're running a campaign, but they don't have a candidate. So No Labels, they apparently had like a big virtual meeting with all their members. And they claim that they are going for it, but they don't have a candidate. They're just going to be that group out there that swears that they're into centrism and getting things done, quote unquote, and they're doing a talent search. They have already been, turned down by Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, Republican Governor Larry Hogan, Nikki Haley. All of them said no. They don't want to run on No Labels. The upside to this is, No Labels apparently already has ballot access in 14 states. They've done what it takes to lay the foundation, and they apparently have another 14 in the wings they're about to be on board with, which is no small feat. So they've invested some time and effort in this, but they don't have a candidate. So how's that work? That's like saying, we intend to field a football team, but we don't have a quarterback. We'll see you at the game on Saturday. Who's going to play? I don't know. We're working on that. But we got a team, we got a mascot, we've got a stadium, but we're working on, we'll have somebody by Saturday. That's where we are right now with No Labels. So why is it all happening? The article says, Byron York says, it's just because they're centrists and the No Labels thing, it does appeal to some donors, but there's always political operatives that are ready to jump on board if there's big donor money. So in other words, if they came into some big money, it might attract somebody. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see suddenly RFK Jr. gets picked up as the No Labels guy if he needs the extra boost. and then adding a Republican to his ticket. I got one text. I saw it a minute ago. Where'd it go? Let me see where it was. Bob from Athens believes that Trump ought to pick Tulsi Gabbard. But then somebody else just said a moment ago that they heard that RFK Jr. Yeah, Donna from Coleman says RFK Jr. is looking at Tulsi Gabbard. She's a free-thinking independent with military experience and service. Trump's going for establishment. That may be true. And RFK Jr., if he does that, he's picking another Democrat, which is going to bleed away more from, although she left the Democrat Party. And she did like really beat up on Hillary Clinton, which was fun. I like Tulsi Gabbard as a person, what I know of her. Actually got her commission at the OCS here in Alabama, believe it or not. All right, brother, we're taking a break. Let's take the break right now. I'll come back and get some more of your text messages before we head into our Adventures in Woke World segment. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, silent conservative, and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. So, interesting. It just happens all the time. I'm watching the big screen, one of the big screens here in the studio, and we just finished doing the whole thing about, you know, who's going to be RFK Jr.'s vice presidential pick. And then, da-ding, the story comes up during the break. RFK Jr. announces that he will name his vice presidential pick next week. So that's interesting. I think, well, he said March 26th, which might be what, the following Monday? Anyway, coming up here like real soon. So, yeah, how about that? Wiley from Gunnersville says, I hope that Trump doesn't rob the Senate of a senator for his VP. My vote's for Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Okay, that's fair. I would be fine with that. I think she would bring in, you know, the working mother vote, you know, the middle class working mom type vote, and I think that would be important. She's doing a great job already as governor of Arkansas, but we'll see. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I'm in all honesty, I would like to see RFK drop out of the race and become Trump's VP. Whoa, slow down there, John from Huntsville. I don't think so, man. I don't think we can do that anyway because the Republican bylaws would not allow it. There's no way. Interesting dynamic. Now, here's what I could see, though, John. Not as a VP. Because the bylaws literally prevent that. I believe that the Alabama's Republican Party bylaws mirror those of the National Party, which says if you have openly been a part of the Democrat Party or supported a Democrat candidate in the last 6 years, you are disqualified from running as an elected Republican. There's that. Would it be possible, though, for him to have a position within the Trump administration? I don't know. And I don't know that I want that, to be honest. What would I feel safe with him doing? I don't want him being Secretary of Energy. He's a Green Party activist or a green energy activist. I wouldn't want him to be Attorney General. No, I think he's too liberal. Now I will say this: he was huge. He was pushing back on his own party. He was huge on the vaccine mandates and the issues surrounding the rush to vaccinate everybody in the world with the untested, unproven vaccines that we're now seeing so much trouble with. And I would not be a bit surprised to see him receive a position where he could do some good, like in, you know, Health and Human Services or something like that. I think he's been calling out his own party, if I'm not mistaken, on border issues. Could he do a decent job as Department of Homeland Security? I don't know. All I know is this. Do not mistake his centrism for conservatism. I don't know that he'd be a good one to have around, but he's interesting to watch run. And I, by the way, would I rather have him than Biden? Yeah, I probably would, but no, not today. Brian from Huntsville says RFK Jr. is definitely a loon on the environmental policies. Yes, indeed. Brian S., thank you very much. Sam from Priceville. Wasn't Jesse Ventura in office? Yeah, I don't know if you heard me say it or not, Sam, but Jesse Ventura was actually the governor of Minnesota. Go figure. Mark from Tony. He wants General Flynn to be vice president. You know what would be righteous? Make General Flynn the Secretary of Defense. That would just curl the liberals' hair. they would have a freak out if that happened. But I could see General Flynn. Now, General Flynn was also he was senior in military intelligence, retired as what, 3-star, I believe. So Lieutenant General Flynn, I could see him, if he wasn't VP, I think he'd be a great potential for Department of Homeland Security, for SecDef even, for that matter, for Secretary of the Army. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Anyway, let's see. Jeff from Indiana says, Jesse Ventura was a great governor. He stood on the steps of the Capitol telling women wanting money from the government that he wasn't responsible for them procreating with losers. He was not known for mincing his words, was he? Dustin from Hazel Green says, if you want a good laugh, he had a TV series called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. Does he still live in Mexico because he despised the U.S. so much? I don't know the answer to that, but I remember he had that kind of far-out conspiracy theory thing going on. May have had a late-night radio show, too. And then John from Harvest says, RFK Jr. is Trump's running mate? One word, no. Two words, heck no. John in Harvest. All right, listen, we're about to take a break. We're going to come right back, and we're going to jump into some adventures in woke world. Y'all, I got some wokeness. Oh, Lord, I got some wokeness. We're going to cover down on the latest things. Some are funny, some not so funny, but you need to know what woke policies and, personnel are out there trying to do things. Not the least of which is what's happening at Space Camp. Maybe we'll touch on that too. It's been some more kind of a week watching that whole thing unfold, but I thank my listeners for being so engaged on the process, and my Twitter feed is still blowing up on it. That's been fun. Anyway, all that to say, we got a lot more show coming on, and I like it. I like where we're headed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.